This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello, and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today, we're looking at a fascinating new study from ACTA Neuropathological Communications, published in 2026. The paper is titled Methylation Profiling and Alternative Classification Approaches in a Glioma-Enriched FFPE Stereotaxic Biopsy Cohort. The lead author is Katharina Johanna Weber, and it comes out of a powerhouse collaboration, including the Edinger Institute in Frankfurt and the DKFC in Heidelberg.
This is a topic that hits home for every practicing neurosurgeon. We've all had those cases. A deep-seated lesion, thalamic or brainstem, where a gross total resection isn't feasible. We go in for a stereotaxic biopsy, we get a tiny worm of tissue, and we send it to the neuropathologist praying there's enough material for a definitive diagnosis.
Exactly. And the gold standard now isn't just looking under the microscope, it's DNA methylation profiling. But the challenge has always been, can we actually get reliable molecular data from those tiny formalin-fixed, paraffin-embedded, or FFPE biopsy samples?
That's the billion-dollar question in neuro-oncology right now. The Weber paper really dives into the technical and diagnostic feasibility of this. Alara, walk us through the cohort they looked at. This wasn't a small series.
Not at all. They analyzed a glioma-enriched cohort of 334 stereotaxic biopsies. All of these were FFPE samples. This is important because while frozen tissue is great for DNA, FFPE is the reality of clinical workflows. They wanted to see if they could move beyond standard histology and even beyond the standard calibrated scores provided by the DKFC Molecular Neuropathology, or MNP, classifier.
For our residents listening, let's pause there. When we send a sample for methylation, the MNP classifier gives us a score from 0 to 1. Traditionally, we look for a score of 0.9 or higher to be confident in the diagnosis. What did the study find regarding those scores in these small biopsy samples?
They found that about 80.5%, that's 269 out of 334 cases, achieved a calibrated score of 0.9 or higher using the MNP version 12.5 classifier.
80% is actually higher than I would have guessed for stereotaxic biopsies. Usually I'm worried about dilution of the tumor cells by normal brain tissue at the edge of the biopsy.
You're exactly right. That's the edge effect. But the real meat of this paper is what they did with the remaining 20%, the cases that didn't hit that 0.9 threshold. In the past, those might have been labeled inconclusive or non-classifiable.
And that's where the alternative classification approaches mentioned in the title come in. What were they doing differently?
They used a multi-step approach. If the automated calibrated score was low, they looked at random forest, or RF, raw scores and something called T-SNE visualization. T-SNE stands for T-distributed stochastic neighbor embedding. It's essentially a way to map the methylation profile of the unknown sample into a multidimensional space populated by thousands of reference cases.
So if the sample sits right in the middle of a cluster of glioblastoma, IDH wild-type cases on the map, even if the score is 0.5, you can be reasonably sure what you're looking at?
Precisely. They found that by integrating the classifier results with T-SNE mapping and manual inspection of copy number variation, or CNV, profiles, they could reach a definitive molecular diagnosis even when the automated score was low.
Let's talk about CNVs for a second, because as a surgeon, I find the CNV prod some of the most useful parts of the report. Even if the methylation class is vague, seeing a 7P gain and a 10Q loss, or a CDKN2AB deletion, tells me exactly what kind of beast I'm dealing with. Did the Weber study highlight how often CNVs were useful in these biopsies?
Heavily. The CNV profiles derived from the methylation data allowed them to identify characteristic chromosomal alterations, like the 1P19Q co-deletion for oligodendrogliomas or the FGFR amplifications in glioblastomas. In small biopsies where you might not have enough tissue for multiple FISH or NGS panels, getting both the methylation class and the CNV from one single assay is a huge advantage.
There's a section in the paper about tumor cell content, or TCC. We often hear that we need at least 20 or 30% tumor cells to get a good methylation run. What did their data show for these stereotax examples?
They observed that TCC is indeed a major factor in the calibrated score. However, they demonstrated that even in samples with lower tumor purity, those diluted samples you mentioned, the alternative approaches, specifically the T-SNE clustering, often remain stable. This suggests that the signature of the glioma is often strong enough to be detected even when it's not the majority of the DNA in the tube.
That's a relief for the surgeon. It means that if we are slightly off target or if the tumor is very infiltrative, like a diffuse midline glioma, we might still get the molecular answer we need. Now, Alara, the title says glioma enriched.
Did they look at other entities, or was it strictly gliomas?
While it was glioma-enriched, the cohort reflected the reality of stereotaxic biopsy practice. They included various grades and types, but the focus was on how methylation profiling can refine the WHO 2021 requirements. For example, some cases that looked like lower-grade astrocytomas histologically were reclassified as glioblastoma IDH wild-type WHO grade 4 because the methylation/CNV showed molecular features like TERT promoter mutations or FGFR amplification.
This is the shift we're seeing in the OR in the clinic. The integrated diagnosis. It's no longer just what the pathologist sees on the H&E slide, it's the combination. Did the author suggest that methylation should be done on every biopsy?
The paper suggests that methylation profiling is particularly valuable in the stereotaxic setting because of the limited tissue. They argue that using these alternative approaches, the T-SNE and RF-RAW scores, maximizes the diagnostic yield. Instead of saying the test failed, we say the automated score is low, but the clustering and the CNV confirm the diagnosis.
What about the technical side? FFPE tissue can be notoriously degraded. Did they mention any specific failures?
They did note that DNA quality can be an issue with FFPE, especially older samples or those with poor fixation. However, by using the current protocols from the Frankfurt and Basel groups, like Jürgen Hensch and Stefan Frank, who are co-authors, they showed that the success rate is remarkably high.
It's interesting to see names like David Kapper on the author list. He was one of the primary architects of the original MNP classifier. Seeing him push into these alternative classification approaches suggests that even the creators of the tool recognize that we need more than just a single calibrated score for clinical decision-making.
Exactly. It's about clinical pathological molecular correlation. The paper really emphasizes that the classifier is a tool, not a black box that gives a final yes-no answer.
So if I'm a resident preparing for a case, and I'm about to do a biopsy on a deep-seated lesion, what is the takeaway from the Weber 2026 paper for me?
I'd say there are three main takeaways. First, stereotaxic biopsy tissue, even when it's FFPE, is perfectly suitable for methylation profiling. Second, don't give up if the initial report shows a low calibrated score. Ask your neuropathologist about the T-SNE mapping and the CNV profile. And third, the molecular data can often override the histological grade, which might completely change your patient's postoperative treatment plan.
It's a brave new world. I remember when we just called them low grade or high grade, and that was it. Now we're looking at T-SNE clusters from a few millimeters of tissue.
And it's making our diagnoses much more precise. The authors conclude that this approach should be integrated into the routine diagnostic workup of stereotaxic biopsies to ensure that patients get the most accurate WHO classification possible.
Well, this has been a great deep dive. The Weber et al. Study in ACTA Neuropathological Communications is definitely a must-read for anyone involved in the surgical management of gliomas. It bridges that gap between the operating room and the molecular lab.
Absolutely. It's about getting the most out of every single biopsy we perform.
Thanks for joining us today on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode where we continue to explore the cutting edge of our field.
We'll see you then.